Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, some international news which is being reported by Agence France-Presse. French police today detained the screen legend Gérard Depardieu for questioning after two women accused him of sexual assault. The 75-year-old actor, who has made more than 200 films and TV series, was charged with rape in 2020. He was forced then to put his career on hold again last autumn when allegations of sexual harassment and assault mounted against him. The police were to question him over the allegations involving two women, one on a film set in 2021, the other on a shoot in 2014. That's according to police sources speaking to Agence France-Presse. Now, the US Secretary of State Antony Blinken has this morning told a meeting of the World Economic Forum in Saudi Arabia that the only thing standing in the way of a ceasefire in Gaza is Hamas, and they need to decide quickly on the deal in front of them. The comments come as the Hamas delegation is expected in Cairo to discuss a ceasefire proposal, which was drafted by mediators from Qatar and Egypt. And for the latest on this, I'm joined on the line from Jerusalem by Alistair Bunkle, who is Sky News Middle East correspondent. Good morning, Alistair.
Good morning.
So we seem to have renewed impetus now in ceasefire talks. What is happening today?
Yeah, it does seem that way. I think we're always really cautious because we've been here, haven't we, so many times before when it's looked as though the gap between the sides was closing and then something would happen to bring those talks to an end. But this time, you know, there's just a few things that stand out as being a bit different, which is why there is some quiet optimism. So Israel have come up with a new proposal that they have given to Hamas via the Egyptians. Hamas are now studying that proposal, and they've sent a delegation to Cairo today. But last night, one of the news agencies, AFP, said they quoted a Hamas official saying there's nothing they can see in it that would provide an obstacle or be a problem. So that's quite hopeful. And then Antony Blinken, US Secretary of State, just in the last few minutes over in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, has described this deal as being extremely generous. So we wait and see what the coming hours will bring, and we wait for the official response from Hamas.
Extremely generous, if you're Hamas, is that what he means?
Yeah, he thinks the Israelis have come up with a proposal that is a very generous proposal and one that Hamas should accept.
Mm-hmm.
The Americans have said that before about the Israeli proposals, but this time the Israelis certainly have started to give ground in various areas. For example, they were demanding that 40 hostages were released in the first phase. They've lowered that number to 33, which is the number that they believe are alive. The number in the categories of young, elderly and the infirm who are still alive.
Now, I see as well that we've had these conflicting reports about the number of people who were killed overnight by Israeli airstrikes on Rafah. The number was put at 22 by some reports. And Antony Blinken has spoken on that again today, hasn't he? Saying we haven't seen a plan that gives us confidence that civilians can be effectively protected, essentially reiterating the US opposition to an offensive on Rafah. That is still in the ether. And if you look at those airstrikes, it may already be beginning.
Yeah, I think you would expect if there's going around an operation, whether it's in Rafah or anywhere else for that matter, you'd expect to see an uptick in the frequency of airstrikes as sort of preparing the ground, if you like, before the soldiers go in. Now, I don't think an invasion of Rafah is imminent for many reasons. I mean, one, because these ceasefire talks are still ongoing. So I think the Israelis are going to see what happens there. But the Israelis do want to put pressure militarily on Hamas and keep the pressure up in order to try and get some success in the ceasefire talks. As for the humanitarian plan that they supposedly have to evacuate close to 1.4 million people from Rafah, you know, I've got to be honest, there's absolutely no evidence of how that's going to work at all.
Mm-hmm.
There is more aid getting in. We can say that. There is more aid getting into Gaza, and the US pier is being built, and that should be operational in the coming weeks. But there's no plan that anybody's seen for where they're going to try and move 1 to 1.4 million people.
We can see the pressure, you know, every night on our news programmes that Benjamin Netanyahu is under from the people who so desperately want those hostages released from Gaza. But on the other side of this, what sort of political pressure is Hamas under now, given what the people there have been suffering?
Well, I mean, firstly, just on the pressure on Netanyahu, also it's worth mentioning the pressure from within his government as well. So Benny Gantz and Gedi Eisenkot, who joined the war cabinet just after the outbreak of war, have sort of hinted that if this deal is not done, this hostage release deal is not done and not taken, they might decide to leave the cabinet. But on the flip side, you've got Bezalel Smotrich, the far-right finance minister, who posted a video on Twitter yesterday saying that a deal would be equivalent to a surrender and that he would threaten to collapse the government if a deal was done. So even internally, Netanyahu has got two sides of his coalition threatening to walk, depending on what happens. As for Hamas, it's really hard to gauge what kind of pressure they're under because their leaders have remained underground and their leaders in Gaza have remained underground. We haven't seen any sight of them since the war began. I think there is growing anger from what we can gather. There is growing anger in Gaza towards them, but people are still afraid to talk to speak out. Mm-hmm. Hamas still maintain control in parts of Gaza. They have not been defeated. And so I think a lot of people are afraid to voice how they really feel about Hamas. But you do occasionally see pockets of protest.
Yeah, it's just interesting, I suppose, that we have this line coming out now. You know, we have no major issues with this suggested deal from Israel. We haven't been to this point before now since October 7th, have we?
No. The problem is, though, it's when you talk of Hamas, who are you speaking about? Is it the political leadership that are in exile in Doha, for example, who have a lot of power but, you know, aren't actually in Gaza itself? Or is it Yahya Sinwar, who's the leader inside Gaza, who ultimately is going to have to be the one to approve any deal because it is the Hamas leadership, the Hamas structure within Gaza that would need to facilitate any release of hostages. And so they don't always, it appears, speak with one voice. And you might get the exiled leadership abroad saying, OK, we can get on board with this deal. But we've seen in the past Sinwar saying, no, we're not going to go with it. And that's why it's so complex. Even getting hold of Sinwar at the moment is said to be very complex. He's underground somewhere in hiding. You can't always reach him.
And on the humanitarian aid side, I know you touched on this a little while ago, Alistair, but I see that World Central Kitchen has said now that it's going to resume its operations after their staff members, seven of them, were killed. That is really important because of the work that they do, but I would imagine also because of the knock-on effect that will have on other aid organisations who may take a lead from that decision.
It's really important. I think, aside from the United Nations and the various United Nations organisations in Gaza, World Central Kitchen is pretty much the sort of the next biggest aid organisation operating on the ground there. Certainly there or thereabouts. They were running hundreds of sort of distribution centres and kitchens around Gaza, and of course taking aid around. So when they postponed their operations for entirely understandable reasons, that would have had a profound effect on the humanitarian situation. But they've obviously decided to resume now, presumably having had some enough reassurances from the Israelis that this kind of deconfliction process, i.e. they then be able to move around with some degree of safety, or they must have had some reassurances that can now happen again. I mentioned the US military port that is being built.
Yes.
I was on an IDF briefing over the weekend, and they think it'll be up and running early May. They're not putting an exact date on it, but early May. So, you know, we're looking probably next fortnight or so. That will also open up a brand new route into Gaza. And depending on how the security situation is around it and the frequency of ships coming in, obviously that has the potential to bring in a lot of aid.
But they've said themselves...
So there is definitely more...
Sorry, Alistair, to cut across you, but haven't they themselves said this is not going to replace the aid that was coming in via the roads? It's not going to do the full job of work that needs to be done?
No, it won't. The Israeli argument is they're allowing more aid crossings, more crossing points, and different ways of getting in. So the Israelis will say, look, we are allowing more increased number of aid drops. We've opened up more road crossings. I think you can take that with a bit of skepticism. Certainly, we have seen aid going into the north and through Erez, there's near the Erez crossing in the north, but it's not, from what we can gather, it's not happening regularly. It's not like every single day there are tens, you know, dozens of trucks going into the north. It sort of happens every now and again. Ashdod port, which is just north of Gaza, is said to be open to receive aid, but we can't get access to that at the moment. So we can't see again whether it's being used to its greatest capacity. So I think there's still room. There is room for more aid to be able to get into Gaza. And I think that is why you're seeing foreign allies of Israel still pushing them and mm-hmm. saying you can do more and you need to do more.
I'm just looking at this New York Times report, which says that Israeli officials increasingly believe the International Criminal Court is preparing to issue arrest warrants for senior government officials on charges relating to this conflict. And there's a lot of detail here on the charges that they might be facing. What are you hearing about this, Alistair?
It's interesting, this. There's been a lot of reporting about that over the weekend in Israeli media. I think it actually came from Netanyahu himself when he spoke about it publicly on Friday afternoon, saying that it wouldn't affect any of Israel's operations, wouldn't have any impact in that regard. For many years, there's sort of been an outstanding effort from some countries and organizations to try and get an arrest warrant like this leveled at Benjamin Netanyahu, but it's never happened. It's a very complex and highly politically emotive thing to do. Whether or not now the ICC feels that, given what's happened over the last 7 months in Gaza, it has sufficient evidence to at least pursue an arrest warrant, well, that is the suggestion. It's just that the suggestion at the moment seems to be primarily coming from Israeli government sources. And so there is one school of thought that this is actually the Prime Minister's office trying to get out ahead of the game and trying to publicize it in order to actually have the effect of pushing it away somehow.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching it very carefully. It would be a huge moment if Benjamin Netanyahu was issued with an arrest warrant by the ICC. It'd be a very, very big moment.
All right. Well, look, there's a lot happening, and let's hope we get some good news from those talks that are underway on the Middle East crisis. Alistair, thank you very much, as always, for talking to us. Alistair Bunkle there, Sky News Middle East correspondent. We'll take a break. Back after this.
Text 51551. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.